So how many of you are kind of going, how did it get to be Christmas already? Yeah. You know, I don't know if it's just my own age or kind of if the world has speeded up. I think scientifically the world actually has, right? And do we have a scientist out there? I think it's like getting faster and faster. I don't know, but it sure feels like that in my life. And with all the busyness and all the things that there are to do, and all the past traditions any one of us have celebrated, I have celebrated over time, and what I thought Christmas meant, what's a wonderful thing for each of us is to recognize that we are now right here in this moment. And we create whatever experience going forward that we will have of whatever we consider Christmas to be, whatever we create it to be, in our heart and in our own spiritual understanding and in our own experience. And with this first Sunday, the Sunday of the Advent of Hope, my talk title for today is Hope, a ray of light in all circumstances. A ray of light. And so I'd like to talk a little bit about hope and our perspective in an appreciation that the Christmas season affords us a very focused and concentrated time of a vast majority of people centered in an awareness of something greater than themselves, whatever their experience is, whatever their concept is of the birth of Christ, of what that means, of what it means to have Santa Claus come down the chimney, of what it means to gather with friends and family or not, and opening packages and presents. This is a season that opens for all of us an opportunity to move into a greater spiritual understanding for ourselves as we choose it to be. And so as we take a look at the word hope, I would invite us to recognize that there's two layers and levels as we talk about things in unity and in our spiritual journey. That there is that which is part of the human experience, what we call the egoic self or the personality self, the world out here that is the world of appearances that we feel is real. And we also know that there is something greater than that, which we have many words for, whether we call it the divine mind of God, which is not our intellect, but is the intelligence of all creation. We call it Holy Spirit, the activity of that energy within us that is a part of all creation. Whether we call it love, whether we call it Christ consciousness, a higher awareness. Because as we believe, Christ was one of the few avatars of light, as we call them, the people who have walked on this planet that demonstrated that true higher vibration and awareness of the recognition of limitless potential, not just in them, but in all of humanity, in all of us, that we are on that journey to begin to recognize, to live into, to lay hold of and access and live our lives differently. And so hope is a wonderful Advent. Usually I'm off right after Thanksgiving, and that's usually the first Sunday of Advent, and so I don't get to talk about hope often. And it's kind of interesting to me because unity has, Charles Fillmore, I love it. He'll have a viewpoint and then he'll change his viewpoint. He went to a class with Eric Butterworth. I've told you this many times. Eric is teaching a class and he puts forth this idea, and Charles says, well, I don't believe that in that. And Eric says, but I'm quoting you. And Charles says, hey, I reserve the right to change my mind. So see, this is the journey and the process. Each one of us, we are in this experience right here and right now in our own way. And through this holiday season, we can invite into the heart of our being, into our own consciousness, a different way of living and viewing and being with our family, with our friends, with the ads on TV, with Black Friday, with what do we have now? Cyber Monday, with all of these experiences that we view in this outer human personal way, how do we move into the heart of our being, create a significant experience that can embrace that and yet can see how beyond that into how much more is there. And so when we look at hope, I'd like to read a definition from, this was from the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. It says, one, to cherish a desire with anticipation. Two, to desire with expectation of obtainment. And three, to expect with confidence and trust. And so when we take a look at Scripture, many of us are very familiar with Hebrews 11:1, and I took verse 1 and 3. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. What in the heck does that mean, right? The assurance of things hoped for. It's like that full expectation with confidence and trust. The assurance of things hoped for, or that the desires set forth, the conviction of things not yet seen. Because what we realize is that how we manifest in our world and in our lives from that perspective that is greater than human self is from drawing out of the resources of divine limitless potential. That's what we call God, not some person up in the sky that's a puppeteer. We believe that godness, that the energy of all being, of all creation, is that limitless potential that any one of us can lay hold of in any way, at any time in our lives. And it goes on in verse 3 to say, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. When we say the word of God, what that's, you know, the verbiage back then was a little different than how we look at things now, but the word of God spoke to that underlying spiritual awareness of the universe, of breath is all creation. The word of God, that spoken breath that draws forth from that first imaginary idea and draws it forth into greater expression, intention, and expectancy, so that it's what we create then and what becomes real in our outer world comes not made from the things that are already here, but it comes from that initial impulse, that place that we say is the divine mind and beingness of God. Robert Fulghum said, I believe that imagination... Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. Could you stay on that one? Thanks, Kevin. You knew better than I did what I wanted. Okay, because I forgot to go on to Psalm, which I love. Psalm 62. It says, my soul, wait in silence for God only. For my hope, my expectation is from Him. Now, from the human physical place, and when we think of God as a person, we think, you know, it's something outside of ourselves. But what is really being referred to is my hope and my expectation resides in that mind of God that's inherent in every single one of us. So my soul, wait in silence for godness, for inspiration, for divine spirit to move through me. So as we're beginning to take a look at hope and what that means, I'm inviting you to shift and be aware. There's two parts. There's how we have viewed hope from that human perspective. And we sometimes see it as we're hoping for something, but we don't have it, right? We're hoping, but we don't have it. And so in human consciousness and in spiritual consciousness, we recognize that everything is already potentially there. So we can either look at hope from the human perspective or we can shift our consciousness into a place of recognizing hope is that light of inner divine expectancy within all of us that draws into existence out here, not from what already is, but from the limitless creative potential of inherent divine mind. So now the quote from Robert Fulghum says, I believe that imagination is stronger than knowledge. Imagination is that limitless place within us. Knowledge is more resident, which is valuable and important. It's in our mind and it helps us. But imagination is limitless. Knowledge has parameters. That myth is more potent than history, the stories of all of who we are. That dreams are more powerful than facts. That hope always triumphs. That hope always triumphs. So as we're embracing this holiday season, as we're taking a look at how we will experience and understand and live into hope, let us begin to revision it, not as we sit in hope and we look to something out here that we don't have and oftentimes think we can't, right? But let's begin to revision hope as a sense of expectancy. Going back to dictionary definition, to desire with expectation. Because what that does is it shifts our mind into a place where we are in alignment with that which we call the Christ consciousness, that higher mind of self. It opens us to know that we may not see it out here in our world yet. But when we choose to resonate in and to allow ourselves to surrender to and be a part of the energy of being that is hope and expectancy, what we are doing is literally setting intentions that draw from what we call the pea soup of limitless divine potential and ideas. We begin through the resonance of our thinking. We know that like attracts like. So the resonance of that thinking, of that expectation, that draws to us those divine impulses, those things that will carry us through, whether we are experiencing challenges, whether we're experiencing questions in our lives, whether we're a part of creating something bigger and grander. When we allow ourselves to begin to drop into this place of experiencing hope differently and recognizing it is limitless expectancy, we begin to draw to us all manner of limitless good. Now, Charles Fillmore, our founder, of course, in his book, which is called Revealing Word, and he had in his moments of meditation, he would ponder words and what they meant in more of a metaphysical connotation than just simply an outer physical dictionary definition. And he said, expectation is anticipation of divine good, looking about for the wondrous benefits God has prepared for us. In every person is that which causes him always to hope for and to expect that which is good and true. This very expectation helps the good to become active. See, this is how we participate. The fifth principle in unity is taking action. And it isn't just outward action. It's action in the way we think, in the way we align ourselves, in our consciousness, in our recognition, in opening ourselves through this season to that which we would call a greater Christ consciousness, that which Jesus experienced and lived his life to teach us about. From Psalm 39:7, this is from the Amplified Bible, and it says, "And now, Lord, what do I expectantly wait?" What are you waiting for right now, expectantly? Are you just sort of responding to what's in front, or have you taken a moment to really set an intention? See, this is the time when we're embracing hope as that expectation and intention to think, what do I expectantly, for what do I expectantly wait? Excuse me. My hope, my confident expectation is in you. And what that means is in the activity of Christ's mind, in the activity of divine spirit, in the activity of all creation and all that is. And from Romans, out of the Aramaic Bible, which it's nice to kind of go back to a more original Bible, and this is in plain English translated, Romans 15:13, it says, "But the God of hope shall fill you with all joy and peace by faith." You talked about faith earlier. By faith, by that recognition, that sureness that that is present, that you shall superabound. Isn't that cool? Superabound in hope by the power of the Spirit of holiness. Doesn't say by the Holy Spirit as though it's a separate thing. It talks about the Spirit of holiness. It's an activity of energy, of movement, of possibility. So this is a season as we embrace hope, as we begin to choicefully live this season in a way that invites us to become all that we can be. And that also reminds us that even through the challenges of life and the darkness, that there is that light, that we have already set that intention, and that limitless presence of God is always with us through all things. I have three short quotes, so there's three people on this slide. George Washington Carver said, "Where there is no vision, there is no hope." And Robert Schuller, we all know, says, "Let your hopes, not your hurts, shape your future." And Tertullian, who was actually, he was from Carthage. He was a Berber from the portion back in the days of Rome in about 155 A.D. In North Africa. He contributed greatly to the formulation of the Christian writings. And this is a short line, but it's so beautiful. He says, "Hope is patience with lamp lit." See, it's that place in us, as I said, there's a human perspective that sees outer circumstances. We believe in the challenges, the darkness, the things that come forward. And then there is that place of hope that is the expectancy of that higher divinity and presence of God within us, that is the light, it is the spark, it is the ray of intention that guides us, that shines upon the path before us, that encourages us, that lifts us up, that reminds us of a greater truth of who we are. And as we are in alignment with that, we draw that forth into expression. Hope is the light of expectancy guiding us toward greater good. Hope is the light of expectancy guiding us toward greater good. So friends, as we move through this holiday season, we understand that there are times that are challenging. And we can remember that hope is not just wishing for something that is not attainable. Hope is a state of consciousness, a state of being, in that expectant awaiting for the activity of God as we put forth our intentions to manifest for that greater good, to manifest by way of comfort, to manifest by way of as we continue to practice, to take time apart, to whether you pray in silence, whether you pray through singing, whether you pray through dancing and movement, to let our thoughts, though, flow in that awareness that as we lay hold of ideas, they become what manifests for us. So how many of you find yourself watching the news or on Facebook and are having a few reactions to some of the stuff that's been on TV recently? Yeah. Well, we're human, huh? Yikes, right? Yikes. Whew, yeah. And see, the thing, friends, is to recognize that we get so reactive to those things. You know, because what do they trigger in us? They trigger our humanness, don't they? They trigger the places in us that feel limited or less than or not enough. They trigger our angers, our judgments, our, you know, and definitely I'm right, they're not right, you know, those kinds of things. They trigger fear and doubt. And what? Monkey mind. Yes. Monkey mind, you know, that little chatter, chatter, chatter. It does. And see, friends, when that happens, guess what we're doing? We're being backseat drivers. How many of you have sat in the back seat and you're going, no, turn there, no, oh no, go over here, no, wait, no, right? Oh Lord, have any of you been driving when somebody's been doing that? Yikes. Yeah. See, so friends, what I'm sharing with you about this is when judgment, when fear, when doubt, which is part of the human monkey mind activity, are what's guiding our steps forward and what we're doing, ooh, they're not doing it from the broader perspective of being at the wheel and seeing everything. They're doing it from a perspective that's in the back seat that doesn't know all that much. So friends, to participate in this season with a greater sense of hope, I'm inviting us all to kind of embrace each one of the aspects of Advent in a way that we begin to live into it differently. And not be in that place of being a backseat driver and letting the stuff on the news and the stuff on Facebook, you know, absolutely kidnap us. And it does. It kidnaps our thinking and it triggers our fears. And it doesn't mean we shouldn't be informed. However, it means that we let it go into higher light. And we invite ourselves not to dwell on the doubt and the fear or of circumstances in our lives and in outer appearances. We dwell on the spark, the ray of light that is expectation and hope and the activity of holiness. And we let that guide what we do. The Dalai Lama said, I find hope in the darkest of days and focus in the brightest. I do not judge the universe. And Desmond Tutu said, hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness. And there's an African proverb from the Hausau tribe. However long the night, the dawn will break. However long the night, the dawn will break. So friends, as we're embracing this holiday season, as we're moving forward into breathing our intention, being our light of hope, recognizing that that ray of expectant lightness within us draws forth into expression that which we cannot yet even see. Remember what it said in Hebrews. We don't see it yet. And we tend to believe that which is out there is true rather than recognizing that we are the authors and we are creating forward. So embrace the season. Begin to see it through those eyes of expectant hope and faith and creative joy in the imagination of the limitless mind of God that draws us. You may be drawn to go talk to someone you see in line who's fidgeting or you may be drawn when something comes up on Facebook to post a prayer or something on TV to stop yourself and to breathe into and say, wait, okay, that's outer appearances and I choose to focus on that inner higher consciousness that is limitless divine mind and every potential and possibility is available if I choose to stay focused and manifest that forward. Last scripture from Job 11:17 and 18a, it says, and thy life shall be clearer than the noonday. Though there be darkness, it shall be as the morning. and thou shalt be secure because there is hope. Thy life shall be clearer than the noonday, friends. Hope draws us into that place of light where through all things we are supported for greater good. So in closing, I'll share with you a quote from Catherine Pulsifer. She's a spiritual motivational author, and she says, never give up. Expect only the best from life, and then take action to get that. So live into hope, live into expectation, live into this season in a way that recognizes that newly awakened Christ presence within.